parables contain object lessons for our daily living. While they were drawn from the society and cultural setting of the first century in the ancient Near East, an agrarian society for the most part, it's amazing how much they still apply to today and how we, when we read them or when we hear them, they turn on lights on the inside, they open our understanding, we can comprehend what it is that Jesus is saying, we can comprehend what it is that he's trying to communicate to us, we can then apply it to our lives through these simple stories, through these parables that Jesus tells. We have two examples today. First of all, there's the story about the shepherd who has 100 sheep, and he loses one of them, and he leaves the 99 in the wilderness to go in search of that one lost sheep. Now, most of us would think, you know, you lose one out of 100, that means you got 99%. That's pretty good. Most of us would be happy with that, but a good shepherd, no. A good shepherd, the good shepherd, is not happy with just the 99. It wants the one that is lost. He wants the one that has gone astray. He wants the one that isn't here. He wants the one that has gotten lost. It's in our nature, in other words, to seek after the lost one, to seek after the one that has been lost. Even though you have 99, you're willing to abandon them in the wilderness to seek after the one that is lost. And when the one who is lost is found, the master picks it up and places it on his shoulders and carries it in, and there is great rejoicing in heaven over one who is lost, one sinner who is lost but now is found, over one sinner who has repented. Remember, repentance means to change your mind, metanoia, to change your mind, to transform your mind, your way of thinking, your way of approach, and your motion from one direction to the other direction. There is much rejoicing in heaven when that one who is lost is brought back into the sheepfold. And in case that story kind of misses us, he tells another story. He tells about the woman who loses one out of 10 coins. She has 10 very valuable coins. She loses one of them. And instead of being happy with just the 9, she goes in search for the one that is lost. She turns the house upside down. She lights the lamp and sweeps it to try to find that one lost coin. And we all know what that's like. To have lost something that's important to us, that's valuable to us. It may have intrinsic value or sentimental value, but whatever it may be, it's important to us. We're not happy that we've lost it. And so we go in search of it, to find it, to rescue it, to recover it, because we don't like that it's been lost. And I'm really hot. You got me really loud right now. You might want to pull me back just a little bit. We don't like it that it's been lost. We don't like it that we don't have all 10 of them. We want that last one. And we know that where it is, it's somewhere in the house. After all, we know when we've lost something in our home, we know it's somewhere to be found there. And if you just look long enough, you will find it. That happened to me once, not just with my ring that I told about during the children's sermon. It happened once with something that was very important to me as well, my Emmaus lanyard. I went on the walk to Emmaus in 1997, and for those who finish as a pilgrim on the walk to Emmaus in the weekend retreat, they give you a lovely lanyard and cross. It has the Cairo on the front, and it has on the back, Christ is counting on you. And when you go to Emmaus functions, to attend candlelight services, to work and walk to Emmaus as a spiritual director, as a layperson, you wear your Emmaus lanyard cross. It's a special gift. It doesn't set you apart from other people. It reminds you that you are called to be a person serving others as the hands and the feet of Christ. This is a very important gift, and I lost it. I couldn't find it. I looked and I looked. I moved beds. I searched in drawers. I searched through my car. I looked through boxes. But for almost 3 years, I could not find it. Searching for it. Until the day they were packing me up to move here. And the movers came in, and they were moving some of my furniture, and they moved this great big chest that there's no way I could ever move. And as they moved it, and they were carrying it out, on the floor underneath it was this lanyard. I'd already replaced it with another one, and was wearing it when I was going to work walks to Emmaus. I had another one, a new one, but mine, the one I wanted the most, which had been lost, was now recovered to me. And I was so thankful that I had it again. And I've kept it safe with me so I wouldn't lose it again. I had searched and I had searched and I had searched and I had searched, knowing it had to be somewhere, but then I figured it had gotten lost somehow out and away from the home because it couldn't possibly be there. And there it was, under a part of the chest that I had never looked at or looked for or tried to move because there's no way I could have moved it myself. The woman, when she sweeps the house, she's looking for that lost coin. And when she finds it, she celebrates. Look, I have my coin back. Celebrate with me. And there is rejoicing amongst the angels of heaven, Jesus says, when that lost one is found. There is rejoicing amongst the angels of heaven when the lost one is found, when you, me, when we're lost, we are found. Who among us needs to be found? Who isn't even among us now? Who used to be? Who needs to be found? Sometimes we think we're doing pretty good. We think it's easy just to sit in these pews and be here, but it is possible, my friends, my brothers and sisters, it is possible to sit in the midst of worship and not be here. Yes, physically present, mentally, spiritually, emotionally gone. I've experienced it myself many times. I'll often go to annual conference worship services, Brian, and I will sit there and I will feel estranged from other people. Those 500 other clergy in the room, that's fine. The bishop, the district superintendent's up doing their thing. That's fine, that's all, but I don't want to be here. I don't feel in place. I don't feel like I'm doing the right thing. I don't like what's going on here. I'm either mad at someone or my spirit isn't in the right place. And I find myself hypercritical, uncharitable, uncomfortable, incapable of receiving God's grace. I could be there and yet not be there. And that's true for many of us. There are times when we'll go to worship and we're there, but we're not there. And then there are those who aren't here even in body. They don't go to church. They haven't done anything bad. They're just not in church, as if it's a good thing to not be in church. In my online broadcast ministry, I'm often asked by young people as well as by adults, they'll say, is it okay that I don't go to church? Well, will God still love me if I don't go to church? I can't go to church. Is that okay? If I don't go to church, am I going to go to heaven? As if God sits up in heaven with a great big tally sheet and takes roll. And if you come 70% of the time or more, you get a C grade, you get to go to heaven. It's not like that, friends. That's not how it works. You don't go to hell if you miss 16 or more times, my friends. God will still love us if we miss 16, 26, 36, 46, or yes, even 52 times a year. God will still love us. God will still love you. God will still and does still love those who are not here 52 weeks a year. But the sad truth is that while God still loves us, if we're not present in worship, if we're not partaking of the means of grace, if we're not fellowshipping together, if we're not, yes, indeed, sitting down with some coffee together and having a conversation, if we're not studying the Word together, if we're not receiving Holy Communion together, if we're not singing the great hymns of the church together, if we're not worshiping together and serving together and being together as the body of Christ, then we will find that while God still loves us, we will find it's nearly impossible for us to continue loving God or neighbor as self. Church is a means of grace, a way of fueling, empowering, enabling us to love God and to love neighbor. And while God will love us if we miss 52 Sundays a year, we will find that we're not loving God. We attend worship not for God to love us, but so that we can love God and love our neighbor. So yes, God celebrates. Jesus celebrates. The angels in heaven celebrate when one who is lost becomes found. One who is lost sitting in these pews becomes found. One who is lost out there, not going to church, not partaking of the means of grace, not serving together with other Christians, is found. God celebrates, the angels in heaven celebrates, when we who are lost are found, and the great shepherd picks us up and lays us on his shoulders and carries us safely back into the fold. So yes, we who are lost, and my friends, the point is that all of us, every single one of us, at some point in our lives, even if we're sitting here 52 Sundays a year, all of us have times when we're lost and need to be found. And we all know people. We all know people who are lost and need to be found, who are not here and need to be found, and who need to find the grace that we have here. You know who they are. You know their names. You know they're not going to church. You know they're not attending worship. You know they're not feasting on the riches of God's grace someplace else. You know that. And in those moments, we are called to be like the Good Shepherd and to go out and search and find. Search that lost one and find that lost one and bring that lost one back. Well, you got 99. Well, God wants the one. God wants you. God wants the one out there. God wants us in the sheepfold. Us in his wonderful embrace. Us riding on his shoulders. Us feasting on his grace. Oh, my sisters and brothers, we are called to hear the call of our shepherd, our master. And when we are lost, to turn. And as he comes and finds us, not to run, but to enter his embrace. And that's true for us out there, and in here. And in here. Hear the voice of the shepherd. Be discovered by the searching woman in the parable. And be gathered in for the rejoicing that God has for us all. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
In your presence, Lord, let me learn at your feet. I will taste the riches of
been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Commerce, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2016 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information and for other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 1709 Highway 24, Commerce, Texas, 75428. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.